Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Well, there you are. I tell you, that band is just stunning. And they really get me in the flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, I live a strange life where a lot of people ask me questions. A lot of people want to know. There's a lot of controversy concerning the virus and the this and the that and everything else that are in our modern day society that people talk about. And people speak about the new normal. What is normal except that which God actually created? That's normal. Anything beyond that is when you modify what God has done. And when you modify what God has done, then you're looking for trouble. But in the modern day world, all sorts of funny things are deemed to be the new normal. Well, it's actually the new wrong. But that's not what we're talking about. Now, going around in society, I get people that cross my path, very glad to see me, very glad to run into me, and they ask me questions, tell us about this. And they all ask about the time of the end. A lot of question at the moment, questions going out concerning, inoculations and what say ye, and there's a lot of questions and a lot of people that are just, they're asking me questions. What about the book of Revelation? What does it mean? And then when I listen to people, I hear very quickly, I can hear they're off track, they're misinterpreting the scriptures. For God is the God of order, not the God of disorder, order. Creates things perfect, you know, don't need to modify anything, neither plant nor animal nor anything that exists on the planet. As God created it, you pray over it, you bless it, God will multiply it. And that's the great creator. And so we look at the situation around us. People ask me, they say to me, what about the time of the end? What about the book of Revelation? What do you think about the whole world political system? What about the system of the beast? What about nanoparticles that are creating digital certificates for people? And what about, all the things concerning the mark of the beast and so on and so forth? Well, number one is we got to start at some point. And we need to understand one thing. There's one more question I need to say to you. And that is, a lot of people say to me, Pastor Harold, is it going to be a great year? Pastor Harold, next year, is it going to be a great year? Following year, Pastor Harold, is it going to be a great year? Question all the time. I have ministers phoning me and saying to me, what are you going to preach on New Year's Eve? And then they would quickly take notes, and then they have something to preach about instead of doing their own homework, instead of getting on their knees and finding God and doing some research. It takes hours and days and months and years to get into the picture. So what we're doing is, I'll first answer that first question. Concerning everybody that comes every year with the same question, is it going to be a good year? Now, if we all acknowledge that this is the last days, then we have to know that the following is then true. And sometimes I'll read it from the Bible. Now, I've decided that I'm going to do everything from memory. So for this particular series, there is no book except Bibles around me, and no sequence. Gives me great freedom to explain anything I feel like explaining, and just to jump from here to there, either quote, or perhaps if somebody wants to carefully follow it, then they can follow it and I can explain it in detail. This is no problem to me. So this is purely just as the Spirit leads me. We go through the book of Revelation, possibly even Daniel, I don't know, but we're going to go there and see what goes on. Concerning the people asking, it's going to be a great year, here's the answer. But know this, that's all of you who believe we're now in the final hour, some say the final minute. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, diabolos. That means that is people that are diabolical or they speak demonic or devilish. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having even a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then he goes on and he says, but I say to you, stay away from such or avoid them. Turn yourself away from such people, having a form of godliness, no power. Much legion, much all sorts of procedures and rituals and all, and powerless. Now let me say this to you right here at the beginning. Whether I wore a black or a white cloak or a hat on my head or no hat on my head or something of some color to identify me as a man of God, it has no impact on the anointing that is on my life. No impact. It's not the outward garment, it's what's inside your heart. And up here, by the help of the Holy Spirit, he helps me to remember whatever I need to say to the people in every session from here forward. So do we expect a very good year? Number one, I say we are expecting perilous times. And I think we're expecting perilous times for some time, in fact. Because the Bible says to us, it's the beginning of the birth pangs. It is the beginning of the birth pangs. Literally, when a woman goes into labor, she goes through these waves of the pains of birth, giving birth. And that's exactly how Jesus, the Lord and Savior, explained. He says this, when you see the signs of the times, they are indicators. I like to say this. I was thinking about that early this morning when I was praying. I like to say this. They are warnings that you need to turn back to God. Did you hear what I've just said? I'm talking to you. They are warnings to get back to God and fast. Because the times, the end of times, and the signs of the times are designed with purpose. For the church is not yet departed. And this is not the time. I was saying to somebody in this week, this is not the time to backslide. This is not the time to have a party on a Sunday night and the cat and the dog sitting on your lap. And the cell phone, you're going on with the cell phone while I'm busy talking, you're missing the beat. Because I might very well speak to you as the oracles of God, as Peter said we should be doing as men and servants of God, that we should, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, the revelation, the words of God. And so as the Holy Spirit reminds me, now I say something and it's VIP and somebody's phone has got now a message with a little joke or a little video or something stupid. Now, you can be ugly and do something about it. Somebody said, Dr. Ralph Naber used to say, but stupid is forever. Now, there's one thing, and that is set your mind on the Word of God. And if you do that, do it very properly. And I'm speaking to you now very properly. So that when I speak to you, it'll be heart to heart. And when I speak to you, my prayer is that you would understand what I'm talking about. So if we dive into the subject and we say, where are we now? The word perilous times means times hard or very difficult to deal with. And you know what? Precisely that is what happened in this past year, that the people found themselves in a time that was very hard for them to deal with, difficult times. And we had to lift up people. And you know, I love the people. I really love the people. But I don't like fear mongering. That means the promotion of something that causes fear. Because not everybody's in strong faith. So therefore, those who are weak in the faith need to pray and say, Lord, strengthen my faith. Read the Bible and start understanding what you read. Because the moment you understand, you don't forget. That's how memory works. For me, if I understand a thing, the moment I understand it, I don't forget it again. So it is a time that you want God to strengthen your faith. It is a time that you don't tolerate cats and dogs running through the house, jumping on the bed. You don't tolerate anything. Telephones ringing. Somebody's watching something in competition with the Word of God, like a television program, because that happens to be something like Batman, Superman, Junkman, any of those things. Listen, right here is the Word of God, right here in my hand, is the Word of God that lives and abides forever. It is designed to take you and save you from hell and take you into the glory and the glorious presence of heaven in the city of gold, where the Lord Jesus Christ will present the bride. He'll present us unto the Father, those who believe. And we need not to be unbelieving believers. So I'm a believer in word only, like a nominal Christian. I really have to get all my ducks in a row and make sure that what I do with my life is very much blessed of God. Because through this year, I kept saying, if you walk with God, if you obey God, if you just walk in righteousness, no fooling around, no compromising, not allowing things that you know is against the will of God. It's written in Scripture. You can't modify the Bible. You know, people do that. They do genetic, all sorts of, they do anything. They do it to plants, animals, birds, anything, even chicken, whatever it is. You know, chicken eggs and tomatoes and whatever. I don't want any of that stuff. I want what God created, because that is where the blessing lies. You know, the Jewish people call it kosher, real kosher. I want God's creation to feed me, not what some person that now decides that he's going to do something and do a mutation and a deliberate genetic manipulation to make something else. Can you make a banana better than what God made it? Oh, yes, Pastor Harold, we are scientists. Now, the one thing about science, because I love science, the one thing about science is it's extremely limited. Because even if you specialize, in a tiny, tiny field of the vast of all knowledge that the Almighty Creator has. Don't think you know much, because you know very little. If that's all you know, and you don't know this, then you haven't even started knowing, gnosko, understanding, comprehending what is in here. Because the most supernatural of all books ever written is this one. Every single book of it has been inspired by God. Every book within the Bible, the books of the Bible. I tell you, that takes us on a different beat or whatever. Now, I need to say something else. I began many years ago with a study. This is an Afrikaans translation. I'll hold it out like that. Maybe you can see it. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But it is filled with writing. It is scribbled all over. As I plowed my way through the book of Revelation, God made me really understand this stuff. And moreover, if I look at this, then I just think, my children all wanted this particular Bible, because that's the one where we had this. Actually, there's another one before this one, but it completely fell apart and I couldn't use it. So I started again with this one, and it is full of marks and things. These marks every page, where every chapter is right here. I got it. I know where I can go straight and tell you where a chapter is. For example, let's say Revelation chapter number 7. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter number 7. It sits, by the way, it sits in the second column of my Bible. And there it is in the second column of my Bible. See, so I've got it all like that up here, and now we can talk. So from that perspective, I need to address another thing. I love that thing where there's this big debate, and where one man, in all of his spectacular display of ignorance, says, well, you know, everything that works like clockwork in the universe, and he spoke about the blind watchmaker. And then in the Bible codes, God comes along and he says, I am the watchmaker. I exist. I am. Very interesting. From the days of Moses, encoded in the Bible codes is the answer to that stupidity. Now, what you do have is what you call ignorance. Ignorance meaning lack of knowledge. And that, of course, if I have a lack of knowledge, I can make a lot of wrong decisions. I'd like to have all the facts on the table before I make any decision. So then there's this part where I actually want to read you this. This is from 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I want to zero in on one or two verses here. But let me just create this thing and we'll get a move on with the rest of all of this, because now we're busy building up speed. It's like this locomotive, this train is now getting on speed. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, both in which to stir up your pure minds. By the way, you need a pure mind before you can understand what's going on here. That means, you know, the Greek word for that is anakinosis. You know that it says in the book of Romans chapter number 12, it says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you do not be conformed to this world. Don't be after the fashions of this world. Oh, there's the modern thing, you know. There's the new modern thing. There's the new more normal. And there's another new normal. And that's another new normal. That's not a new normal. Normal is here. The Creator wrote the workshop manual for you. And you know what? It says you have to have a pure mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you be not conformed to this world, but be changed by the anakinosis, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is your good and acceptable and perfect will of God concerning your own life. Romans chapter number 12. A pure mind is one that's been renewed. And you know, by the way, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 3, 4, 5, Paul speaks about, though we walk in the flesh, we don't walk according to the flesh. I'm going to leave out some quoting here and get back to the verse I want. It's about the fifth verse that he says these words. He says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Taking every thought captive, renewing the mind and taking every thought captive. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 21, says these words. It says that this book, the words of this book, is able to save your soul. And Peter the Apostle says, therefore, as babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So knowledge of the Lord is understanding, my friend. And if we look at this, stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So let's strike the memory and let's see. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing at first that scoffers will come in the last days. What is a scoffer? A scoffer is like a cynical, you know, the Afrikaans actually to me is a better word, just say spotters. You know, they mock, they scoff, you know, and they have little bits and pieces of this, that, the other. They say stupid things. You know, and I just look at that and I just, you know what I love about the Lord Jesus? He never reacted, he acted. He never took him by surprise, because he knew all things. He knew the hearts of people, and he knew that the hearts of people in these time and still today we find is desperately evil. And when your heart is no more evil and your heart, your mind is renewed, you then look at society, you see people running around wildly in fear, and you wonder, I wonder why. If they knew this book, they would have faith. If they have faith, they won't have fear. If they obey what this book says, they won't have fear. So it says these words, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, the dictations of the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, by the way, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Signs of the times are there to speak to people, to warn them, come closer to God, return to the Lord. And by the way, there are a couple of people watching me right now. You've got the habit of just sitting and watching 1 minute, then you go away. Why you do that? Because you're shooting yourself in the foot? Because this is designed to build your faith, not break it down. The whole thing with 27% of the Bible is prophecy. And that 27% is there to build up you, build you up in the faith, not to break you down. So I go and watch something on the television. Maybe there is now a nice program that I can watch. There's a series of somebody killing somebody, and there's a detective that's following the track. That is something to watch. Well, that's not saved a soul. That did in the story kill some people, which, according to the word of God, you shall not murder. That you start off with part of the Ten Commandments and against one of the Ten Commandments. And so therefore, you look at that, it says, where is the promise of his calling, of his coming? Of course, they walk in according to their own lusts. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. That willfully means they want to forget. They've decided to forget. They've decided to ignore. Did you hear what I'm saying? There are people who have decided to ignore what is in this book and even what I'm talking about. To their own peril. To their own peril. Because we speak life. In him we live and move and have our being. This they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens, follow me carefully, were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, that word earth there is the Hebrew word eretz, which would mean literally the ground, the ball, the physical earth ball. Standing out of the water, in the water, the world which then was perished, being flooded by water. So the world that then was perished, being flooded by water. That is very, very interesting, because the world that then was went through a flood. And now we see a major impact that if we read this thing very carefully and we think of dinosaurs and oil fields and blah, 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 anything like that, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The word old means an infinite period of time. Vast period of time. So that makes me think about a couple of scientists running around and say, well, you know what? Well, you know, it can't be 6,000 years since Adam and Eve, and that only. No, the Bible says the heavens and the earth were of old. That means there was a vast period in between that expired. So if you take Genesis chapter number 1, where you see these words, Bereshit Elohim Arba, At Shemahim Chayaretz, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says, I did not create the earth to be without form and void. In other words, a waste. In other words, for no purpose. It was there, and the heavens and the earth were of old. Now I'm going in a direction here, which I actually very much do not want to go, because I can teach you now for the next 2 years. Just with this book in my hand. So there's a period in which judgment fell. For those of you that are students of the Bible, you can go to Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse 23, and read that portion there, where it says, I beheld the earth. God takes him into past tense. And the prophet Jeremiah sees the earth that is without form and void. Isaiah 45, 18, I did not create the earth to be a waste thing. So then we see here that the mountains were moving. The whole planet was shaking. You read it there in the book of Jeremiah 4:23. Maybe I'll read it sometime for you and explain it, because there's a whole deal there, and there's not even birds. There's no humans, none to be seen. Well, there's been humans since Adam and Eve, and there will be humans till the coming of the Lord and even on the new heavens and the new earth. But now in this case, there are no humans yet. And because of the Lord and because of his fierce anger, everything was shaking. The planet was turned upside down. Now subsurface Terra Firma, we have got forests that provide us with modern day fuel technology, petrol, and all this stuff. Have you ever heard of a thing called a dinosaur? Now, where did they wander around? Some of those things are on the surface, but I say to you that their bones are far deeper than what they're looking for on the surface, and it's like almost a lucky strike to get a Tyrannosaurus rex on Terra Firma surface. And maybe there's been some moving around at the time of the flood of Noah, whatever the case may be. But now, the heavens and the earth were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then was perished, being flooded by water. The what perished? The heavens and the earth and the world. What is the world there? It's not Eretz, it's not earth. It's the word that says cosmos. Now cosmos, if you study the word cosmos from every angle, they use the word cosmos in terms of a social order or a social system. You can go look in dictionaries, you'll find it. But if you look at it in the Hebrew and in the Greek, you see also it's an orderly arrangement. It's a society, if you will, interacting with one another, consisting of certain living things, by which the world, the cosmos that then was, perished, being flooded by water. Now, the Lord there and then, all the things came to an end, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And the Lord said, the first thing he said, for God is light, and in him was the life, and the life was the light of man. He said, let there be light. Suddenly there's a light up. Suddenly, there is the beginning of what we, many of the scholars, call the recreation creation. In other words, the restoration creation. Because in Genesis chapter number 3, a character by the name of Satan arrives that already was part of the judgment. And the very reason for the judgment of the world that then was, that flooded, being perished by water, everything drowned. And now we find fossils and all sorts of things and fossil fuel and forests below the ground and coal and everything. How did it get in 6,000 years so deep under the ground? Where did that come from? Well, we can go deep into it and we can get into a geological analysis of that. But when we also look at it, we even see Alfred Wegener's theory of the drifting continents mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter number 10 verse 5 and 25, where it speaks of the earth, the coastlands of the people were divided in those days, of a man called Peleg, which the name Peleg in Hebrew means that which is dividing. The earth was divided in his days. So God didn't create again man, again birds, again everything after the flood of Noah. So there's obviously two floods. The first flood you find in Genesis chapter 1. Second flood you find right there in Genesis 9, that whole portion there from Genesis chapter number 6. You find the flood of Noah and how God saw Noah. And in those days, he was the man called Enoch that walked with God, preceding the flood of Noah, a type of the catching away of the church, the rapture of the church. There's a man by the name of Enoch that walked with God. Enoch was not, for God just took him. See, God just took him. And so those who walk by faith are in for a very, very interesting experience, which I see my time has suddenly come to an end. I can't go on. I got 1 hour. I can go the rest of the year. It doesn't matter to me. But I can say this to you, that Enoch was a type of the capture of the church before the flood happened. And Noah went into the ark, came out the other side. And then you have the Noahic laws, which are observed in the Jewish world to this very day, apart from all the laws of Moses. And now we see God releasing man, distributing man on the face of the earth. Well, I just started now, didn't I? I didn't even take you through what's going to happen next. Well, if you want to know what's going to happen next, you better be tuned and be right here with me next Sunday, and I'll take you further on this journey. And for once, you get a grip on how this book says it all happened. God bless you. And now, let me pray for you. Father, I pray that people come to realizations upon realizations that will ignite their faith, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And you said, I sent the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord in the book of Malachi, chapter number 4. I think it is in the 5th verse where it says, I send the prophet Elijah. Well, Lord, that is coming. And we know that there's warning now going out, and wave after wave of warning to the peoples of the world. Come to God. Find faith. Victory over viruses and everything else through faith. Walk with God. Be righteous. And you will live. Now, Father, I pray that you bless your people very much and be with them all this year and help us to serve you properly this year. In Jesus Christ's name.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.